Word of God. Glad to have again Brother Joe Arthur. Hit it, my brother.
Right. Thank you, Brother Scott. Mark's Gospel, chapter number 5 tonight. Man, I enjoyed that trio, girls. That's beautiful. And I enjoyed singing with the Scrap Iron Trio a while ago. I don't get asked to sing much, and when I do, I need to sing 2 or 3 right there. But I'm glad God's people can have a good time. I'm going to tell you, if I don't have a good time at church, I don't ever get to have a good time. Because that's all I do, starting the first Monday in January and to the first Monday in December. I'm in church somewhere nearly every night. And sometimes in camp meetings, morning and night. And I was with Sammy Allen one time, and we went morning, afternoon, and night, and all night long. Had my wife's grandmother, and bless her heart, she dipped snuff. Not my wife, but her grandmother. And by 11:30, I got to looking for Grandma Brown. And she's sitting on one of the back pews. Her wig was kind of cockeyed right here, and her glasses on her nose. And I said, "You all right?" She said, "Under God, I'm about to die for a dip of snuff." I said, "Grandma, they preach against TV here. We can't dip here." She said, "TV or not, I got to have some snuff." So I snuck her out to the car, got her in the back seat there, and I stood between her and the door, and boy, she just filled her up. She was having herself a time. And I'll tell you, she almost made me want to do it. It looks so good. And then about that time, I seen this parking lot attendant coming by, and I went, oh. I said, "How you doing, brother?" He went, "How you doing? I'm doing fine." He had to get him some too, praise God. But I'm glad the Lord is good tonight. There's a good spirit under this tabernacle. And I'm glad that you're here. And I appreciate the goodness of the Lord. Mark's Gospel tonight, chapter number 5. I want to break in reading tonight in verse number 22. Mark chapter 5 and verse number 22. "And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed." And say this last loud out with me, "And she shall live." I love verse 24, "And Jesus went with him." And can I stop and say, he'll go home with you too if you'll ask him. Glory. "And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him." Now, we'll leave off the narrative in verse 24, and we'll pick it back up again in verse number 35. And the reason why we do that is this. While Jesus is on his way to touch this little girl, that's when that woman with that issue of blood presses through that crowd and touches Jesus, and he touches her. Now, there's a couple of things about that I like. Number one, you can't get lost in a crowd. There may be hundreds and hundreds of people trying to get to Jesus, but you can't get lost in a crowd. He knew that little woman had touched him. There's something else about this I like. The Lord is not so busy that while he's on his way to help somebody, he can't stop and help somebody else. I guess what I'm trying to say is this. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, whoop, he'll do for you. Glory. I'm trying to get over that first statement. You can't get lost in a crowd. Amen. And so Jesus heals this woman, and we pick it back up again in verse number 35. "And while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" Let me say this. I don't know who this messenger is, but whoever it is doesn't know very much about the Lord. Because this man is not troubling the master. Jairus is not troubling the master. And neither are you when you call upon his name. because we have been invited to the throne of grace. The work of the cross has given us access to the throne of grace. And you are not troubling Jesus when you call on him, because he wants you to. Why troublest thou the master any further? Boy, I love this. And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, say this out loud with me, be not afraid, only believe. Come to verse number 42 for the sake of time and watch your Bible. And straightway the damsel arose and walked. For she was of the age, underline this, we're going to hit it again in a minute. For she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. I believe what is before us tonight is one of the most vivid and clear pictures of intercessory prayer that you'll find in all of the Bible. And I believe tonight the greatest praying that we'll ever do. I believe the most important praying that we'll ever do. And yes, the most rewarded praying that we'll ever do is the prayers that we pray on behalf of others. Amen. I'm glad for the doctrine in the Bible of intercessory prayer. You remember what Paul told the young preacher? He said, I would that prayers, supplication, and giving of thanks, and intercession be made for all of the saints. Let me say this tonight. If you have somebody in your life that loves you enough to pray for you, you are a blessed individual. Man, can I say that again? If you're under this tabernacle tonight and you know somebody that loves you enough to pray for you and go to God for you, you are a blessed individual. And I'm glad tonight we do serve a God that we can get a hold of. And I'm glad we serve a God that can get a hold of us. And I'm glad we serve a God that can get a hold of somebody else, because we got a hold of him. I'm glad one day somebody got a hold of God for me. And one day somebody got a hold of God for you. I really believe tonight that nations have been brought back from the ruins because somebody got a hold of God. I really believe tonight that churches have been revived because somebody got a hold of God. I do believe tonight that broken homes have got put back together because somebody got a hold of God. I believe tonight that old sinners have been saved because somebody got a hold of God. I believe tonight that wayward sons and daughters have found their way back to home and God because somebody got a hold of God. I believe people have been encouraged because somebody got a hold of God. And I'm glad tonight that we do serve a God that we can get a hold of. And he can get a hold of us. And he can get a hold of somebody else because we got a hold of him. I'm glad the God that we praise, the God that we serve tonight, is not only the alive God. He is not only the amazing God. He is not only the awesome God. He is not only the able God. He is not only the atoning God. He is not only the assuring God. But I'm glad he is the accessible God. I'm glad tonight we have a great high priest which can be touched with the feelings of our infirmity. I believe tonight that Abraham touched heaven for his nephew Lot. I believe tonight that Moses touched heaven for the nation of Israel. I believe tonight that Paul and those apostles touched heaven for that infant early church. And I do know this tonight, that one day Jesus Christ touched heaven for all of us, because there is one mediator between God and man, and that is the man, Christ Jesus. I wonder how many people are sitting under this tabernacle tonight You are here tonight because one day somebody got a hold of God for you, and somebody touched heaven for you, and God touched you because they touched God. And I'm glad we do serve a God that we can get a hold of. And in our text tonight, there are several things about this Jairus and intercessory prayer that I want us to see. Number one in the text tonight, I want you to see the mandate that drove this man. The mandate. You say, Brother Joe, what do you mean by that? Well, let me say it like this. What would cause this man to leave that little girl that is sick and leave her in the house with her mother and go all the way across town and bow down at the feet of Jesus and beg him like a little child to come to his house and touch that little girl? What would cause a man to do that? Well, I've already answered the question. He's a daddy with a daughter. He is a daddy with a daughter. Now you listen to me tonight. A daddy with a daughter will do things he said he would never do. He'll buy stuff he said he'd never buy. He'll go places he said he would never go. All because the daughter looked up at him with the tears streaming down her face. With that manipulating look she got from her mother. Can I get a witness? And says, "Oh, Daddy, please." And if they preface it with this, "Oh, Daddy, you're the best. Oh, Daddy, you're the greatest." Boy, if they preface it with this, "Dad, I love to hear you preach. Oh, Daddy, you're my favorite. Get out the money, honey. That's what it's going to cost you." Man, he's a daddy with a daughter. I made my brags all over this country how I hated cats and how the best cat was a dead cat and how there would never be no cats at my house. But all of a sudden one day the daughter said, "Oh, Daddy, can we have a cat?" Well, guess who got a cat? Then I made my brags. I said, "Bless God, that thing's a stinking animal. It's not going to come in this house. It's going to stay outside. It's an animal. It's going to stay outside." And one night the lightning flashed and the thunder rolled and the wind blew and the rain descended. And all of a sudden the daughter said to the daddy, "Daddy, Flea Flea is outside. Flea Flea is out in the storm. Can Flea Flea come in the house just for a little while?" Well, guess who got to come in the house? And yes, it was like Fred Flintstone. The cat came in and Fred got thrown out. I know it jumped up to bed with me at 1 o'clock in the morning. Then I made my brags. I said, "Honey, if that thing gets sick, it's going to die. If it gets sick, it's going to die. I'm not going to take my hard-earned money and take that stupid cat to the doctor. I ain't going to no vet. If it gets sick, it's going to die." Well, early one morning, I had to make hospital visits. And I didn't know that during the night that Flea Flea had climbed up in the motor of that Crown Vic. And so I start, whoop! I mean, here it went, fur, toenails, and everything. Oh, God, I raised up the hood. There laid Flea Flea all stretched out. You say, "What'd you do?" I wrapped her up in a blanket and I turned on my emergency flashers and I drove like a wild man to the hospital. I'm like that woman the other day, Scott. She's backing out of her driveway and she run over a cat and cut its tail off. And she took the cat and the tail and put it in a box and started down the road. And her husband says, "Where are you going?" She said, "I'm going to Walmart." He said, "Why are you going to Walmart?" She said, "They said on TV today they was America's number one retailer, so I'm going down to Walmart." But anyway, man, I'm going down the road. Man, I slide into the parking lot of that vet. Man, I pull out Flea Flea, and I pull out my credit card, and I lay it up on the counter, and I said, "If that stinking thing's got 9 lives, I want to buy 3 or 4 of them right now." I did all of that because I've got a daughter. And a daddy with a daughter or a son will do everything he can to meet the need of that little child. Well, we come to our text tonight, and here's a daddy with a daughter. They're not having a birthday party. They're not having a graduation party. They're not having a sweet 16 to shindig. They're having a death watch, because the Bible said in our text that she was at the point of death. That means her next breath may be her last. That means the next second may be her last. That means the next heartbeat that goes through her body may be her last. She is at the point of death. Now I want you to notice tonight who this daddy is. He is Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue. You say, what does that mean? Well, that means several things. Number one, he was a man of authority. He is a man that is a ruler. He is a man that tells other men what to do, and they do it. But yet this man in all of his authority, yet this man in all of his power, doesn't have enough power or authority to tell that disease to leave the body of that little girl. For the first time in Jairus' life, he realizes he is over his head. He doesn't have enough power to heal that little girl. He's Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue. It means something else. He is a moral man. He is a religious man. He is not a fornicator. He's not an adulterer. He's not a drunkard, a thief, or a thug. No, no. He is a good, moral, upstanding man. He is a ruler of the synagogue. He has a reputation of being a godly man. He has the reputation of being a holy man. He is a good, moral, religious, upstanding man. But you know what Jairus found out in our text tonight? He found out that bad things happen to good people. He found out that sometimes living the best you can live, doing the best you can do, staying as close to God as you can stay, does not insulate nor isolate us from the hardships of life. Ladies and gentlemen, it rains on the just and the unjust. Don't you swallow this prosperity gospel that's preached across the television waves, that if you're right with God, you'll never have any problems, and if you're right with God, you'll never get sick, and if you're right with God, you'll always have plenty of money. No, here is a good man. Here is a moral man. Here is a religious man, but yet he's got a little girl at the point of death. Notice who he is. He is Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue. He's not only a man of authority. He is not only a religious man. But I believe tonight, number three, he is a man of means. He is a man of money. He's got enough money to buy a piece of land. He's got enough money to build a house. He's got enough money to have a wife. And he's got enough money to have a daughter on top of a wife. And if there's anybody under this tabernacle tonight, and you have a wife and a daughter on top of that, you know it takes a whole lot of money. Now, you old timers that married them old fashioned women that I call low maintenance, hallelujah, God bless you. Pray for the rest of us. But most of us my age and younger, we married high maintenance. And I just want to say, when you compare high maintenance to low maintenance, it's worth every mile of the trip. I feel like I need to move on right there. He is a man of money. He's got enough money to buy a piece of land. He's got enough money to buy a house. He's got enough money to have a family, but yet he does not have enough money to buy that girl another breath, to buy that girl another second. He can't buy her one well moment. So here it is. Here is a man, and he's over his head. It's beyond his pocket, and it's out of his hand. I see him as he looks at that little girl. Her eyes are rolled back in her head. The death rattle is in the back of her throat. The death sweat streams down her brow. And that daddy just stares and looks at the pale body
of somebody that's crawled up in his heart, and she's no doubt got him twisted all around her finger like most daughters have, most daddies. He would love to command her healing. He would love to earn her healing. He would love to buy her healing, but he's over his head. It's beyond his pocket, and it's out of his hand. But I'm glad that's not the end of the story. I see him as he kisses her fevered brow, and he said something like this: "Hang on, honey. Daddy don't have enough of power. Daddy doesn't have enough of money, and Daddy's not live good enough to help you. But hang on, honey. I've heard about another daddy. I've heard about another father who doesn't need my money and who's got all power in heaven and in earth. And he's a lot closer to God than I am, because he is God. Honey, I'm going for somebody that can do what this daddy cannot do. I'm going for somebody that can go where this daddy cannot go. I'm going for somebody that can say what this daddy cannot say." Aren't you glad when you're up against it and the circumstances of life, it's over your head, it's beyond your pocket, and it's out of your hand? I'm glad there's somebody else that can go where you cannot go. He can say what you cannot say. He can do what you cannot do. I'm here to tell you, I'm limited tonight. I have boundaries. I have borders. I have limitations. But I wonder if there's anybody under this tabernacle tonight. You know somebody that doesn't have any limits, that doesn't have any borders. I'm glad there's one tonight who's got all the money that he needs, who's got all the power that he needs. He's as close to God as anybody's ever been. And when problems come and maladies come and extremities come, it ought not to drive us away from God. It ought to drive us to God. It ought to push us to God. I say tonight, when the mountains are high you can't climb, and the rivers are wide you can't swim, and the valley's too deep you can't walk, somebody go get God. Somebody go get God. Somebody go get somebody who can do what we cannot do. You say, "Brother Joe, it's been a while since I fasted and prayed. It's been a while since I hungered for God. It's been a while since I really sought after God." You know what you just told me? You just told me it's been a long time since you've come to the end of yourself. It's been a long time since you've realized that you can't, but somebody can. I'm telling you, most of the time, old Joe's in over his head, and it's out of my pocket, and it's out of my hand. But I'm glad the God that I serve tonight, it's never over his head. It's never beyond his pocket. It's never out of his hand. When we've come to the end and there's nowhere to turn and there's nowhere to look and there's nothing to say, in the middle of it all, hallelujah, stands the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, and the bride and the morning star. And when you've come to a standstill, stand still and let God move. He can do for us what we can never do for ourselves. The mandate that drove him. Number two, I love this in the text. Notice the mission that directed him. He is a man on a mission. I see him as he looks at, and by the way, you realize how much faith it takes on the part of this daddy to leave that little girl with that fever at the point of death. But he's come to realize this: I can't help her, and I can't heal her, and I can either sit here and watch her die, or I can go get a hold of somebody who can do what I cannot do. I believe he kisses her goodbye. I believe he walks out that door, and I believe he walks down that dusty road, and I hear somebody say, "Hey, Jairus, where are you going?" He said, "I'll tell you where I'm going. I'm going to get God." Amen. "How long is it going to take you?" "Not long enough." "Amen. How long are you going to be gone?" "Not too long." "How far you got to walk?" "Not too far." "But all you got to go through?" "Not too much." Amen. "Nothing's too far." "Nothing's too long." "Nothing's too hard." Nothing's too much for that little girl in back there. Jairus, where are you going? Are you going for the physician? Nope, I'm going for the great physician. Jairus, where are you going? Are you going for the priest? Nope, I'm going for the great high priest. Jairus, where are you going? Are you going for the prophet? Nope, I'm going for the message of the prophet. Jairus, are you going for the lawyer? Nope, I'm going for the lawgiver. I'm going for the shepherd. I'm going for the potter. I'm going for the great physician. I'm going for the mighty God, the mighty counselor. I'm going for somebody who says what I cannot say, who does what I cannot do. I want to tell you tonight, you may be over your head and be on your pocket and out of your hand, but there is somebody tonight. You can go get him, and he can do for you what we can never do for ourselves. Oh, you know what I love about this man? You know what I love about this man? He was willing to put his life on hold for that little girl. He was willing to put his plans aside for that little girl. He was willing to step down off of his religious high horse for this little girl. He's putting his reputation on the line. He's putting his authority on the line. He's putting his political affiliation on the line. He's putting his religious robes on the line. He's putting his job on the line. He's literally denying himself because there's only one thing in his life that's driving him like a madman, and that's the health of that little girl. I'll tell you something else about this man I like. He knew where to go and who to go to. There's something else about this man I like, and he knew who to go to, and he knew how to talk to him when he got there, because the Bible said when he saw him, he fell at his feet. He fell at his feet. He didn't get up in his face, but he fell at his feet. You say, Brother Joe, what's the difference between getting up in his face and falling at his feet, whether he goes home with you or not? I was listening to the radio a while back, and this fella said, I'm going to preach a message on prayer. And I'm going to preach on all these prayer words. He said, I want to deal first of all with this word ask. He said, this word ask in the original. I get so tired of people saying that. This word ask in the original, it means to demand. It means to command. It means to give orders. He said, so when you pray, you tell God what you want. You demand from God what you want. You give God. I want to tell you, if you really believe that, I'm going to sell you some oceanfront property in Oklahoma. If you really believe that, you're close to cursing and blaspheming you'll ever be in your life. Why, you think about this tonight. Who ever heard of a peasant commanding a king? Who ever heard of a sheep commanding a shepherd? Who ever heard of a lump of clay commanding a potter? Who ever heard of a buck private commanding a 5-star general? Who ever heard of a subject commanding a king? Who ever heard of a slave commanding a master? Who ever heard of a wife? Well, I'm not going to go right there. But I want to tell you this tonight. You don't command God. You don't demand God. You beg God. You beseech God. You plead with God. Get out of his face and fall at his feet, and he'll go home with you tonight. How many parents we got here tonight? And you're the parent of more than one child. Well, if you're the parent of more than one child, you're going to know something tonight. They are different. I've never understood this. They got the same mama. They got the same daddy. How you doing, brother? Good to have you tonight. They got the same. So I'm preaching right now. I'll let you talk after a while. And they got the same mama. And they got the same daddy. They go to the same church. They go to the same family. And you have one. I mean, man, they mind their manners. They do what you tell them. And son, you'll have one that'll try your last nerve. I see you looking around. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, you got Martha, you got Mary. They got the same brother. They live in the same home. They probably go to the same synagogue. But son, they are as different can be. You got Martha, she's in your face. When she's mad, she wants everybody to know she's mad. When she's mad, she wants to make everybody else mad. And then you got Mary, she's private. She gets off by herself and she cries by herself. When she's upset, she doesn't want to talk to anybody. By the way, I'm glad God loves both kinds. He loves the kind that's nervous and he loves the kind that never gets nervous. I got two children. I got a son named Joseph. We call him Bubba. I could call him tonight and say, Joseph, they've just dropped a bomb in Washington. He'd say, is that right? I'd say, Joseph, it's going to be hot tomorrow. Is that right? As long as his truck starts and his shotgun shoots and his wife and baby's okay, Bubba's okay. But son, I got a daughter. And I can say, Joanna, it's going to rain. Oh, my God, not now. Joanna, they're going to drop a bomb. They better not or I'll sue them. I mean, I got a son. He don't worry about anything. And I've got a daughter that worries about stuff that may never happen. He takes after me and she takes after her mother. Somebody say amen right there. Well, you got Martha. You got Mary. Old Lazarus gets sick. They send for Jesus. On the fourth day, Jesus comes. And he comes into town. And Martha runs out there. Gets in his face and says, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. If you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And I love what Jesus says. He said, Martha, your brother's going to live again. And then she starts quoting scriptures to the man who wrote the scriptures. She said, I know he's going to live again in the last day of the great resurrection. And Jesus said, honey, you read my lips. I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And then Jesus turned around and said, where's Mary? Where's Mary? And they said, oh, Jesus, listen, for 4 days, she's been off in a solitary place. She's been squalling. She's been crying. And if you don't think it's dog won't hunt, Jesus said, you go tell her that the master's come and he calleth for thee. Oh, do you remember that night the Holy Ghost said to you through that old-fashioned preacher, the master's come and he calleth for thee. Amen. Son, Martha runs in that little room to where Mary's at. She taps her on the shoulder and says, Mary, he's here. The master's here and he's calling you by name. So old Mary tears out of that house. She runs down that sidewalk and all the mourners think she's going to go to the tomb. Nope, she makes a turn to the right and goes down to the resurrection and the life. And when she gets out there to where Jesus is, now watch this, she says the same thing her sister says. She says the same exact thing her sister says, but she says it in a different attitude. Amen. She says it in a different position. Amen. She says it in a different disposition. Amen. You see, Martha's up at his face. If you'd have been there, my brother wouldn't have died. But Mary falls at his feet and she begins to weep and cry and said, oh, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And she starts crying and she cries so much that there's enough water to wash the feet of Jesus. And while she's down there crying, she feels something hit the back of her neck and runs down the side of her face. And she looks down and it puddles up on her hands. And she looks up and she discovers not only is she crying, but Jesus is a crying too. Not only is she weeping, but Jesus is a weeping too. And her tears got to mingling with his tears. And his tears got to mingling with her tears. And can I just tell you tonight, if you'll get out of his face and quit accusing him and fall at his feet and bless him and praise him and adore him, hey, he'll go home with you. You fall at his feet and you beg him tonight. He don't owe us a thing. He's not obligated to us, but he's touched with a feeling of our infirmity. Oh, I love it what it says of the King James. When Jesus was standing there and here comes Jairus, he falls at his feet and beseeches him greatly, begs him greatly. And he said to Jesus, if you will come, if you will come. He said, Jesus, everybody and his brother's been to our house, but that little girl is none better. But if you will come, you're the one we're wanting. You're the one we're looking for. Oh, there may be somebody in this room tonight, and you're over your head. You're out of your hand. You're beyond your pocket. I want to tell you tonight, if you'll fall before him and love him and praise him and bless him and beg him and trust him, you can get something from him tonight if you will come. And then he said this, if you will come and lay thy hands on her. Lord have mercy. There was something about the hands of Jesus that had birthed faith in Jairus' heart. He said, your hand. I've been watching your hands. I've been reading about your hands. Now notice, he is a ruler of the synagogue. That means this. He has heard the Old Testament read and expounded in his presence many, many, many times. You go through the Old Testament, and what will you read? You'll read with his hand that he thumped the stars in their sockets. You'll read where his hand hung the sun on one side and hung the moon on the other. You'll read with his hand he made a dry path through the Red Sea. With his hand he made the sun stand still. With his hand he shielded Moses in the cliff of the rock. With his hand, hallelujah, he shielded the Hebrew boys from the fire. With his hand, he put a lock on the jaws of the lion. With his hand, he smashed the walls of Jericho. Praise God, you come to the New Testament. And with his hands, he touched the blind and made them see. He took his hand and touched the deaf and made them hear. With his hand, he touched the cripple and made them walk. And touched the leper and made them clean. Even touched a dead boy's casket, and he got up on resurrection ground. In a few hours he'll go to the cross, and they'll nail those hands and to an old rugged cross, and they'll wound those hands, and they'll touch a fountain filled with blood from those hands. But 3 days later, those same hands will step out on the other side of the cemetery and say, I'm he that liveth, and I was dead, and I'm alive forevermore. And with that hand, reach down to the hills of North Carolina and save a bunch of sinners. Pull us up out of the mire with that hand. Lead us with that hand. Guide us with that hand. Comfort us with that hand. And praise God, one day in the glory world, take that same hand and draw all the tears from our eyes. His sovereign hand, his powerful hand, his worthy hand, his faithful hand, his strong hand. He said, Jesus, for 12 years she's been in my hands. For 12 years I've rocked her in my hands. For 12 years my hands have fevered her brow. Oh, but Jesus, I realize today my hands are not big enough. My hands are not powerful enough. So today, Daddy Jairus takes her out of my hand and I put her in your hand. I want to save the greatest day in your life or in the life of that person you're praying for is when you take them out of your hands and put them in the Savior's hands. I'm glad tonight it's in the Savior's hand. Come and lay thy hands on her and she shall live. Oh, I love that next phrase that the Bible said. And Jesus went with him. He couldn't turn him down. He couldn't turn him away. Oh, he's not cold-hearted tonight. He's not blinded tonight. He's not feeble tonight. You say, but I'm in this room tonight and I'm not Jairus. Are you broke? I'm not Jairus. Are you over your head? And I'm not Jairus. Is it out of your hand? It don't matter who you are, where you are, what you do. When you get over your head and beyond your pocketbook and out of your hand, he'll respond to somebody blessing him. He'll respond to somebody beseeching him. He'll respond to somebody begging him. He don't love Jairus any more than he loves you. He'll go home with you tonight. He's touched with the feeling of your infirmity. And Jesus went with him. The mandate, the mission. Number three, notice the miracle that delighted him. He's about to get a miracle. Boy, here they start up that road to his house. Well, the Bible said, here comes the multitude, the throng of the people. They get surrounded, and now they can't go anywhere. I want to tell you, Jairus was a better man than me. If I'd have been him, I'd say, come on, Jesus, I got to you first. Don't pay no attention to them. I got you first. Leave him alone. My little girl is sick. I come and got him. He's mine. But here's the mark of a man of faith. Here's the mark of a man of faith. He is willing to wait. He is willing to be patient. Watch what he's willing to do. He's willing to watch God work a miracle in everybody else's life but his own. He's willing to watch God bless somebody else's church. He's willing for God to bless somebody else's ministry. He's willing to watch God save somebody else's child. He's willing to watch God work a miracle in everybody else's life but his own. Because he knows his time is a-coming. Because he has read that verse in Isaiah. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. He had read, I waited patiently upon the Lord, and he inclined them to me. He's got so much faith. Time means nothing. Distance means nothing. The crowd means nothing. All he knows is this. I got him now. I got him now. I hear him say, hang on, honey. Help's on the way. While they're waiting, here comes that woman with that issue of blood. And she has heard that Jesus is passing by. And she said, if I may just touch the hem of his garment. The hem. What is so significant about a hem? That's the finishing touch. That's what makes it complete. And before you get a hem, one side has to be lifted up. And then that side that's lifted up has to be wounded, pierced within and without. And then there's an unseen cord that runs through it that holds it all together. You say, what has that got to do with us? I'm glad you asked. I'm glad one day he was lifted up and he was wounded and the cord of his blood. And when I was a sinner, by faith, I touched the finished work of the cross and the only cure for a sin-sick soul. It's the finished work of the cross. I'm glad one day I touched the hem of his garments. She pressed through that crowd, touched the hem of his garments, and watch this. I don't know if she was a Baptist or not, because the Bible said she felt it in her body. She felt it. Oh, but not only did she feel it, Jesus felt it too. Because the Bible said he knew that power, dynamite, virtue, authority, dynamis come out of him. He felt it. I want to tell you, bless God, she felt it. He felt it. She liked it. He liked it. Lord God, the day Jesus saved you, you like it. He likes it. You know it. He knows it. You felt it. And praise God, he felt it too. Boy, Jesus, knowing virtue went out of him, he turned around and said to that crowd, who touched me? Who touched me? Can I give you some advice tonight? When an all-knowing God asks questions, he's not hunting information. Well, if God knows everything, then why does he ask questions? He's creating an opportunity for you to get honest and get real. Who touched me? That woman Her hand went up. She said, sir, can I tell you why I touched you? Now watch this now. You Jesus, I'm Jairus. He's just hanging out. He's just hanging out waiting his turn. And Jesus starts talking to that woman. He said, go ahead and tell me why. And that woman said, sir, you don't understand. For 12 years, I've been sick. For 12 years, I spent every dime I've got on doctors and I've nothing better, I'm worse. For 12 years, honey, when that woman said 12, I believe Jairus said, oh my. Did she just say 12?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
That's how old my little girl is. She's been sick for 12, and my little girl's been alive for 12. You know what I believe? If he can heal somebody that's been sick for 12, he can touch somebody that's been alive for 12. Because 12 is 12 no matter how much you cut it. And he must really like that number 12, because he had 12 tribes and had 12 gates and had 12 apostles and 12 foundations and 12 stones. He's in the 12 business. He's in the 12 business. If he can touch somebody that's been alive for 12, he can touch somebody that's been sick for 12. And then Jesus says something to that daddy. He only says two other times in the Bible. Jesus looked at that woman and said, daughter. Honey, when Jesus called her daughter, I believe Jairus said, did he just call her daughter? Oh, wow. He's got one too. He knows how I feel. And he said, you know, I just believe if he loves his daughter, he loves mine. If he can heal his daughter, he can heal mine. If he can touch his daughter, he can touch mine. I guess what I'm trying to say is this. It is no secret what God can do for what he's done for one daughter, he'll do for another daughter. Son, by this time, he's got so much faith he can't stand it. They finish the journey. They walk in that house, and Jesus takes that mama and that daddy and them three flaming evangelists, runs all the nitpickers out, and walks up to that little girl and said, hey, baby doll, hold my hand. Live. Live. He touched her. He spoke to her. And the Bible said she arose and walked. And the Bible said they gave her something to eat. I want to say it's celebrating time when Jesus comes to your house and does for you and yours what nobody else could do. In closing tonight, listen to this. Wouldn't you have loved to have been at that house, at that table, that night for that meal? Yes. Daddy sets all the family down, and before he says the blessing, I hear the daughter say, Daddy, Daddy, can I say just a word? You've been a good daddy. You've been good to me, Mama. Thank you for this house and this food and these clothes. You've been a good daddy. But Daddy, I got to tell you, the best thing you ever did for me was that day you went over there and got God. Brought him over to our house. Daddy, that's the best thing you ever done for our family. The day you went and got Jesus and brought him over to our place. Because it's different now, Daddy, since Jesus came. It's different, Daddy, since Jesus has come to our house. I want to tell you, Jesus, he makes house calls. He'll go with you tonight. If you'll praise him and bless him and trust him, he'll go home with you tonight. Somebody needs to go and get God. He can do what we cannot do. 2008, the death angel come and got my daddy. Boy, I love my daddy. He was my buddy, my hero, my pastor, my best friend, best man at my wedding. Taught me how to hunt, taught me how to fish, taught me how to shoot a gun. I asked him one time, I said, Daddy, how come you didn't teach us to play golf? He said, we're saved. We're Christians.
That's right.
We don't dabble in the things of the world, son.
That's right.
He said, son, I know fishermen lie, but golfers cuss.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true. That's you true. All know. That's I'll true. Tell you right now, bless
that's
God.
That's true. I caught one this
boy, day. They got my daddy. Took that's him to glory. But I won't tell you where he's at tonight. He's waiting at the river.
Yeah.
And, brother, he's not pushing that little walker. He don't have a brain tumor tonight. He's not drawn over here because he got a stroke tonight. And he's not almost blind tonight. He's in good shape. And one day the ship's going to pull in on the other side. And me and the rest of the family's going to step out on a sunny banks of sweet deliverance. And we're going to shake hands again.
Amen.
That's right.
And I believe I'll say something like this. Daddy, I missed you.
Oh, man. Oh.
Daddy, I love you. You's a good daddy. But, Daddy, I got to tell you the best thing. That you ever did for me.
Thank God.
You see that man up on that throne, Daddy, named Jesus? The best thing you ever did, Daddy, was that day you went over and got him and brought him over to our house. Let me ask you this tonight in closing. Is there anybody in your family? Is there anybody in your home? Is there anybody in your world? Is there anybody in your life that you love enough to go get God for?
Yes.
Do you love anybody enough to go get God for them?
Yes.
I'm telling you tonight, he'll go home with you.
Right.
He'll go home with you. The greatest thing you can do for somebody else is go get God.
Right.
And I'm glad he can be gotten tonight. Somebody, go get God. We're standing all over the building tonight with our heads bowed. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for your grace. God, there's people in this room tonight. It's got sons and daughters, grandchildren, moms and dads, brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors that are like this little girl tonight. They need a touch from God. They need a move of God. They need a miracle from God. And Lord, I just believe tonight there's enough people in this room can go get you and take you home. And you can do for us what we could never do for ourselves. Help somebody in this room tonight to go get you for somebody else. And God, I'm glad you're able. Most of all, I'm glad you're willing. And we give you glory tonight in Jesus' name. While they're playing tonight, getting ready to sing, I just wonder how many. There's somebody in your life, somebody in your family, somebody in your world that you love enough to go get God for them. Come on tonight. Somebody go get God. While he sings tonight, people are coming, people are praying. Somebody go get God. Somebody go get God.
Christ did it.
Somebody
go get God and roll.
Somebody
now
go
I walk
God.
Redeemed and whole. Hand in
that
hand
child, that grandchild, that mother, that father, that son or that daughter, that friend
and
that neighbor
hand in hand
that needs a touch from God. Somebody go get God.
Hand in hand.
Somebody
along
go get God.
The way.
Somebody go get
King
God.
Thus I cannot stray.
People come all over this building.
Hand in hand with Jesus in my night. Dark despair. Jesus heard and answered prayer. Now I'm walking free as air, hand in hand with Jesus.
Sing it, church, sing it.
Hand in hand, alone.
my night of dark despair, Jesus heard and answered.
In my night,
somebody go get God.
Of dark despair,
He'll help you tonight. He'll help you tonight.
Jesus heard,
Lord,
and answered prayer. Now I'm walking free as air, hand in hand with Jesus. Hand in hand we walk each day, hand in hand along the way. Walking thus I cannot stray.
It's
hand in hand with Jesus.
Let's sing that chorus and let's lift our hand toward the Lord. I believe He reaches out toward us.
Hand in hand we walk each day, hand in hand along the way. Walking thus I cannot stray. Hand in hand with Jesus.
One more time, sing it, church.
Keep him at arm's distance. No, he wanted him up close and personal so he could touch, so they could touch. Now, some of you have had your nerves in a knot. I've never had alcohol on my breath as our friend did. But I want you to know the Lord would not have put him out of a tabernacle when he was there. I wasn't about to.
Jesus said, come unto me. Amen. And the bride says, come. And the Spirit says, come.
Amen.
Yes. Whosoever will, let him come.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad the Lord didn't erect barriers but tore them down? Amen. Tore blessed every one of them down. Amen. Didn't keep us at arm distance. Friend, if you'll touch him, he'll touch you back.
Amen.
He'll touch you back. My. What preaching?
Yes.
Maybe it's not a daughter for you. It might be a son. Maybe it's a grandson. Could be a wife. Could be a neighbor. May God help us to go get him. Father, I thank you for your presence tonight. Father, I thank you for the gentleman that's passed through tonight. Lord, I don't know how much of truth he's caught, but God, he's heard the gospel tonight. And I pray for him. Because I could have been there. I could be there, oh God. Lord, you didn't turn him away. But Lord, as Joey said, you said, come. Lord, you didn't say, I don't have time, woman. You didn't say, I don't have time, sir. But Lord, you made time, God, because you came for that reason. Lord, we bless your holy, righteous name for it. Seal the truth in our heart for your honor and for your glory. In your name's sake, we pray. Amen and amen. Let me take care of a housekeeping item or two. Again, if you'd like, one of the books of Brother Wade's life, or the DVDs of one of the DVDs of his memorial service for a gift to the camp, you can have those, one of those. If you'd like CDs or DVDs of the preaching, the services this week, we need you to sign up right over here. And if you'll make a donation to the camp, you can have all those. But would you please do that tonight? Don't wait till tomorrow night to do that. Help us out that if you will. Preachers, if you're here and we don't have your information for the mailing list, these fellows over here will help you out with that as well. So tend to those items if you like. Then let me say to some of the men from the church, I need some men about 8:30 in the morning there at the fellowship hall to do a little bit of light work for a little bit. If you can help me out with that, see me. Shake hands, you go. Tell this preacher you love him. You're liberty if you've minded the Lord tonight.